The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to many great podcasts, including Neckbreaker, Two and a Half Wrestlers, The Midnight Jury, Pro Wrestling 101, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Apex Radio, and of course, The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boo, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Perhaps the easiest way to do so is to leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you buy anything from Amazon, go to ShiningWizards.com and click on the Amazon button. Doesn't cost a thing, but a percentage of your purchase will go to support the show. If you're interested in putting our logo on your chest, go over to ShiningWizards.com/merch and buy one of our logo shirts. Or if you feel like buying a Shining Wizards Network shirt or any other designs that we've come up with, go over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. Become our friend on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Come check us out on Facebook at Shining Wizards. Or send us some hate mail, wizardspodcast@gmail.com. We hope you enjoyed tonight's program, and thanks for your continued support.
This is Notorious 27, the Brooklyn Bruiser, repping the 718 Homicide, and you're listening to the Shining Wizard. Blah!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another whiz-bang, jam-packed, exciting edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, as you know, it's wrestling talk.
And it's talk about wrestling.
I'm Travis.
I'm Troy.
And we are coming to you from, it's not even the future anymore, it's like 14 years ago now.
Was it even the future when they did it?
Pew, 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 pew. Lots of lasers.
Silver jumpsuit jackets from the Techno Team 2000.
Yes, one of the greatest teams in WWF history.
I thought they had potential, man.
Everybody has potential.
They're huge. They're tall guys. Eric Watts is a tall guy.
Eric Watts throws a dropkick comparable to the Renegade.
The Renegade. Is it that bad? Or is it good?
If I remember, well, it's so bad, it's bad.
Okay. Because I thought for a second the Renegade actually threw a good dropkick.
No, not at all.
But,
Hey, I don't know if you know, John Danzig is joining us.
Jesus!
John Danzig.
I had to
studio.
Add that. Yes, he's sitting in match chair tonight because Matt died and Eddie's got the AIDS.
Eddie's on his brocation with David Adams and
Eric.
I think Eric's still there.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of them today. I hope they're having a good time.
Absolutely. I mean, Eddie works hard. Eric is working hard.
He hesitated. He's like, Eric is,
Well, because he does work hard, but I feel like it's the kind of work that's just, like, over the phone or, like, on the internet, so it's not, like, stressful.
Yeah, but for him, it's like, it's probably like work like guys that are on the radio do or like
right.
guys on TV.
I agree.
You know, like yeah, it's a pain in the ass sometimes, but he's really enjoying what he's doing.
God bless him.
Eric's, oh, absolutely.
Eric's great, and they're putting together some sick lineups for shows coming up. We don't have to get all into that now. You have plenty of time to plug that. But
if you want to check it out, ProWrestlingSyndicate.com.
A lot of great stuff. They aim to please for sure.
Everybody.
Everybody.
There's a little something for everybody on one of these shows.
I agree.
So let's
we could talk about PWS all the time.
And some people don't want us to, so let's move
yeah,
on.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Perhaps the biggest news to start off the week. Let's get into some news.
Big story. Huge story.
Huge story of blockbuster proportions, if I must say so. Marcus Alexander Bagwell, formerly known as Buff or currently known as Buff.
I guess he's still Buff.
Friend of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, who lied on our show.
But that created quite a stir back a while ago.
Well, if you thought that was creating a stir, batten down the hatches. He has signed with Vivid Video. God. Buff is going to be stuffing his stuff in the muffs.
in the cheesesteak puss?
Yes. Keep inserting puns. We could do this for an hour and a half.
He
speaking of inserting.
He did that Gigolo show, right? First, and
yeah.
Then he did, and now he's doing porn. So,
well, the creepiest thing I realized reading the story was that his wife is also named Judy.
Oh, that's disturbing.
What's even more disturbing is she's apparently cool with this.
She would have to be.
She's there signing you know what? They should have filmed the contract signing and made it like a real wrestling kind of thing. Yeah,
with guys in suit. Antonio Inoki there presiding over.
Yes, and he comes in with his music playing and he does like the little Buff strut. And he goes, come on, daddy, sign the contract.
Buff Bagwell. The man of many Jimmy hats.
Well, and he's got the name to go with it.
Yeah. I mean,
what do you think? They'll change his name to like Bag Bufferson?
don't ruin the trademark. What was I going to say about it? He actually asked, I think he had like a poll or something, what he wanted his first video to be called. A yeah, poll. Look at the puns, they just find themselves when we talk about porn. Like, who wants, like, should I give her my stuff? Was one of the options or something like that.
Oh, God.
Yes, but that is the big story. Vivid, you're very lucky to have Mr. Buff Bagwell.
Yes.
So that means, like, you're going to see, like, everything. You're going to get all of Buff's stuff.
Yeah. You know what
I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
You know what? All right, let's break down the 15th wall. What really makes me uncomfortable in porn is when there's a woman down on all fours, and the dude just kind of, like, haunches behind her, and all you see is his brown eye and his balls.
That's the worst angle.
It's completely distracting.
It's unnecessary.
No matter
what's
going on underneath, up top just, like, baffles everything.
Just ball hanging and brown eye.
Ugh.
I don't need it.
No,
I don't need
either.
It in my porn.
Not at all.
That's thank God for the internet and that little skip button on the bottom there. You could just go on the timeline and just go to your preference.
Ugh.
But porn.
Yeah, porn has changed, man. I'm sorry for getting off on a tangent here, but I remember having a VHS tape.
Oh yeah.
Somebody, like friends of mine, I'd borrow their tapes, dub them, and then just give them back, and I'd have like four or five movies on one VHS.
See, I wasn't blessed to have a whole lot of porn as a kid.
Oh, I wasn't either. It was hard to find. Like, somebody I know would get a hold of a movie, and then it just, like, we'd copy it. And then
like, you'd have to go to, like, your neighbor's house. Everyone had that one neighbor that just had porn. Like,
or if you were lucky enough and your old man was enough of a pervert, he'd leave it in the VCR.
Who's he now?
See, I got lucky because my father used to have... you remember the cable boxes with the 13 buttons and you had the little lever to go between?
I know what you're talking about, a little bit before my time.
Like, you can punch in up to 39 channels. Like, that's how many channels cable had back then. It was like 39 channels. So there was like 13 buttons. But underneath that box used to be the black box. And the black box we had was the Playboy channel.
Black box.
My father used to be sleeping at 6 in the morning if we go off the air. So we wake up before school at 5.
And just go get your porn in.
With my father sleeping not 5 feet from us, because he used to be dead to the world. He wouldn't wake up till like 7:30. And we would just sit there and watch the last hour of Playboy Channel.
So you got your Playboy and a bowl of kicks.
My parents would go out, and when we were just a little bit older, like nowadays you wouldn't do it, but like when we were like 10, 11 years old, my parents would leave us home for a little while, like, oh, we're going to visit so-and-so, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So we put on the black box, and my brother was singing some cheer that he learned on the Playboy channel.
Porn cheer?
Dude, it was cheerleaders, and they were cheering about like getting hard-ons and feeling tits. It was a great cheer. I wish I remembered it. So my brother's in the kitchen screaming this, and we hear the door Tumblr unlocked.
Just screaming
and
about
my father's
dick.
Coming in. Feel my tits. Feel my dude. The belt came off. We fucking ran for the hills. It was awful.
That's bad.
It like everything was so great until he heard my brother screaming this cheer.
Dude, my friend's dad caught us watching Skinamax one time in the old room. He comes in and he's like, "Listen, I don't blame you guys, but you got to turn this off." Like, I'm not mad at you for watching your Skinamax, but get out of my room.
I don't know if you remember, this might even be before your time, but Channel 68 on the UHF, used to run movies like that on Saturday nights.
Really?
I remember going to my friend Vinny's house for a sleepover a few times.
Ah, good and I had sleepovers.
I had no idea this existed, and all of a sudden he's like, yeah, let's put on UHF channel, and not the UHF movie that you're thinking of.
Weird Al movie.
Like the
great
real
flick.
Like the real put the TV on channel 3 and then turn that bottom knob to go to channel 68.
God, 68.
Holy shit, we're old.
God, man. We used to I wasn't blessed like that. I had the scrambled Spice Network.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you'd see a titty once in a while.
Oh, yeah, a light blue turquoise titty. It was like Avatar before its time. It was like watching Avatar porn.
And unfortunately, the audio would come in crystal clear. So.
I had to mute it every now and then. My parents would think I'm up because we didn't get every pay-per-view, every wrestling pay-per-view. So like, I'd have to go up and I'd just watch it in the scrambled format on the pay-per-view channel.
Yeah, like you used to twist the horizontal hold knob on the back of the TV, and you would just get it where it's all different colors, and it's off center, but you can watch
it
for a couple of minutes at a time.
But you know, of course, my trigger finger would leave wrestling and go to porn every now and then.
I can't say I blame you.
Hey.
But turn it off.
Yeah, just get out of my room. Stop watching porn in my room, nephew. Wow, look at that.
From Buff Bagwell.
That's a solid 8 minutes on porn.
Hey, I could do the whole show on porn. We'll just call it the porn
show.
Listen,
we're winging it tonight, guys.
Listen, you know what? Sometimes we need nightlights.
I'm already having a blast.
Well, I mean, we're already half a drink in, so.
That's true. Well, you're half a drink in. I've been out for a while, so.
We should probably pop in a porno now.
I'm going to say no to that tone. I mean, I like you.
I mean, you want to set the scene, right?
Hey, listen, I mean, maybe we'll close out the show with some porn music.
Oh, my God. All right. Speaking of Skinamax, now you got me going on this.
Hey, let's do it.
There is a movie. It's called Serena the Sexplorer. Guess what that's supposed to be spoofing?
All right, well, I thought it was going to be Serena Williams, but now I know that it's Dora the Explorer.
It's not even the movie, and it's not like Kid Toucher-ish. It's like she's from outer space, and she wants to sexplore.
Explore, yeah.
Okay, but
inquiring minds need to know stuff.
The movie is your typical run-of-the-mill softcore. You don't really see anything.
Right.
A whole lot of like...
It's taped down.
It's like movements don't even make sense because things have to stay covered.
Just defy the law of like physics and gravity.
It's like pumps are like half a centimeter.
Yeah. Pumps.
Like
he knows the actual verbiage.
Like both standing up from behind, which everybody that I'm talking to knows that just doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
But that's not the point of the movie. The soundtrack to this movie is the most god-awful music. Whenever I find it on, I leave it on and I just listen to it.
Well, you know, they had to focus on the plot.
Oh, it's...
They couldn't cut no expenses for...
And the soundtrack is available, I just have not found it yet, which
Dora
is
the
Sexplorer.
Not Dora the Sexplorer.
Serena. Yes.
The Sexplorer.
She bangs your balls with a tennis racket.
Wonder how old she is now, that Serena.
I would say they've got to be in their mid-30s, late-30s. Don't they start them young when they play tennis?
I don't know. I think they start them young in porn.
Well, you want to get into, what was her name? The one that was on Married with Children a bunch of times.
The porn star?
Yeah, she's been in a bunch of movies. She was in the Kevin Smith movie, Zach and Miri. You know who I'm talking about.
She Asian?
No. She got in trouble for doing all the movies underage. She came up around the time where Ron Jeremy was becoming big. Why can't I think of it? Her name begins with a T.
Tia?
No, not Tia Carrera. She's Asian. And that's not her. That's Asia Carrera.
He has. You know how WWE has an encyclopedia?
Tracy Lords. Yes. Doesn't ring a bell?
No.
God, I'm old. All right. You know what? We need to stop the porn talk.
Hey, it's
all right. I'm getting too old. I'm going way too far back.
Listen, every wrestling podcast should start out with some porn talk.
Of course.
That's my position on that.
Well, you and I both have notes, so let's move on from the porn. Daniel Bryan, a legend.
A true hero.
A superhero.
Really? That's an impressive story.
Leaves Comic-Con to go home, and there's two gentlemen burglarizing his house.
And he chases one of them down and taps him out.
Apprehends him.
Listen, that's ballsy, man, because...
With a broken freaking neck.
with a broken freaking neck. Kurt Angle eats your heart out. But that's ballsy, man, to do that. Dude, I don't know what kind of state of mind he was in, because I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't chase down dudes.
No, it's like I would have like. I mean, they ran. They had no intention of staying.
Right, they dropped all the stuff too. They all the merch.
Like cheese at the feds.
Yeah, look at that. That angry goat is coming after me.
Well, it's funny. I mean, he was coming from Comic-Con,
and Bree was with him.
And Bree was with him, but he was also with Hulk Hogan at Comic-Con.
Oh, we're gonna jump right
Heyman
in.
And
Sting. Wow, that picture floating around that WWE released is just mind-blowing.
Now, Eddie made a good point on Facebook where he feels WWE is kind of misusing Sting to make this date, like, you know, kind of presenting him the way they are. It was the ad on Raw for the video game.
Right.
Now it's just an appearance at Comic-Con. It was like a backstage interview that he did at some Raw somewhere.
Yeah, it was like a handheld camera interview with, which I see Eddie's point, but I think he's making it over dramatic. I don't think it's that big a deal.
Yeah, maybe Sting just maybe it's part of his deal that he doesn't make an appearance yet.
Maybe he doesn't have that talent deal signed yet, and it's just for his likeness. It's just for the video game, the toys, and that thing. In which case, I think it's perfectly fine to do what they're doing with him in that regards. But I do understand Eddie's point. This is Sting, the most iconic superstar never to be in the WWE, and arguably one of the most iconic superstars of all time in wrestling, bar none.
Yeah.
So just to have him show up at a rinky-dink press conference and a little backstage thing, I get it how people can say, well, how that's a terrible way to use Sting. But if he just has the licensing deal, maybe he's protecting himself by not going on TV. Because you remember that shoot interview or the TNA DVD where he said why he didn't go to WWE was because he saw how WWE was using the WCW guys.
Yeah.
So if he's still holding on to some of that, then that's on him. But I don't know the nature of his deal, the true story, or whether or not they're just... Listen, if they put him on TV in a month and do the hoopla, no one's going to remember the stupid little interview that he did for the Comic-Con.
Yeah, but I mean, the Comic-Con is also a big show now. It's not
right.
It's not just geeky guys getting together to talk about, you know, comics.
It's everything. I think comic books are like the least most important thing now about Comic-Con.
It's become just a pop culture phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's
so
crazy.
I think it was an awesome surprise. He got a huge ovation. He was there with Sting, Daniel Bryan, and Paul Heyman. Like, we talk about Mount Rushmores a lot. That's a unique group, and that would be a pretty sick Mount Rushmore, those four guys.
Yeah.
Sting, Hogan, Paul Heyman, Daniel Bryan. Come on.
Yeah.
That's like, where are you going to see that eclectic group ever in the same place?
That's it. It's
ever.
An eclectic Mount Rushmore.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's what it is.
Perfect way to put that.
So that was cool to see Sting. And he looks good.
Oh, yeah. Everybody looks good with white face paint.
That's true. That's why like Goldust is really like 60, but he's still wrestling with paint on. That's you know what? Face paint hides your age. It's good.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
Well, a full gold and black bodysuit.
Yeah. If you could still go in
well.
The ring, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
The face
no,
paint.
No complaints.
Yeah.
The Goldust brothers are definitely, you know, he's still rocking, man.
They're entertaining.
Dustin's still got it. It's crazy. Okay, let's talk about Jesse the Body. And let's talk about his lawsuit.
Now, you're going to have to fill me in on this, because I read a little bit about it, and I know it's something he was defamed in a book.
What was the guy's name?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. But somebody in a book wrote about him saying that, what was it? He somebody talked shit, and he got his face punched, or he was talking shit about the Navy SEALs.
Yeah, and Jesse and Ventura was bashing the Navy, even though he's a former...
Yeah, he's a SEAL.
Yeah.
Or he was part of, I think the way it is that he was part of the group that turned into the SEALs. I don't know. There was something going on. Bottom line is this guy wrote in his book that Jesse was talking shit about the Navy SEALs, and a jury in an 8-2 decision, actually it was not unanimous, which both parties agreed to, found that yeah, he was defamed. And, you know, the sad thing is the guy's dead, so the lawsuit continued against his estate, which happens all the time in
right.
the legal business, you know.
Absolutely.
And he was awarded $1.8 million.
That's a lot of mamu.
So let me tell you something. If Jesse Ventura is suing you, settle.
Yeah.
Please settle.
Get out.
Jesse seems like never loses a lawsuit.
Or die,
yeah.
Or just die and don't even see it through.
Well, I mean, I got to believe that the estate still has money. And I have to believe this guy made some sort of, you know, money on this book that he wrote.
I guess.
I don't know if he made $1.8 million.
I doubt it.
But when you're going to talk shit about people, the one way that you can protect yourself is to make sure it's the truth.
Make sure it's the truth, or there's ways around it, too. Like we say, like, allegedly, when we try to talk about people.
Well, because we don't know facts. I mean, yeah. If we come out here and we just start saying things that are fact and we're not sure, then, you know, then that's how you start getting in trouble.
Right.
Apparently, he had a bunch of witnesses. None of the witnesses were believed by the
really? He had witnesses, too.
Had witnesses.
See, that's rare that happens when you have multiple people backing up his statement and still awards Jesse Ventura the...
Well, Vince McMahon got away with the steroid trial.
That's true. I guess evidence is more overwhelming than accounts of the situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, it all goes to how truthful people are.
Does Jesse the Body Ventura need $1.8 million?
No, but it's the principle behind it. You know what I'm saying?
Would you really, like, want it, like, is he going to go out of his way to make sure he gets that $1.8?
I don't know. I mean, when he won his lawsuit against Vince McMahon, I think it was less than $1 million. But it's Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon's got $1 million.
Yeah,
you know, he's got
to
pay
him.
But who knows? I mean, maybe the estate declares bankruptcy.
That's
true.
You
can't.
There's
really,
ways around it.
You can't really get more money than what the estate is worth,
right?
You know. And if this guy's been dead, I don't know if there was a freeze on it. I'm assuming there was a freeze on the estate with this lawsuit pending. But you know, if there's not enough in the estate to make these payments back, unless there's some other agreements that were
right.
in existence, you know, whatever's left is left, and you have to get in line and just collect like everybody else.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. But Jesse the Body Ventura.
Yeah.
Making that paper in the legal system.
That's right. And he's going to take it back to Mexico to his house.
Is that where he lives?
Oh, yeah. He loves Mexico. He's talked about it. He's like, you pay less taxes the more you take care of your property. So he's like, it actually benefits you to upkeep and to like expand your property as opposed to here, where if you put in like a new hot water heater, the tax man wants to come, you know? It's, but fuck that. I'm not moving to Mexico.
No, no shot in hell. You kidding me? I mean, no offense, Mexico, but.
Do you have any other news before we get to the news that's been circulating?
And we're talking about the news, like the
yeah.
The big
I mean,
news.
I know that I'm pretty sure we talked about Kenta signing last week, but
Prince Devitt has signed with WWE. Will be reporting to NXT.
Another big signing.
They really hyped it up, which is surprising to me because I mean they did it with Kenta too, and they did it with Devitt about putting it on their website, making a big deal about it. But I'm wondering, listen, I've never, and maybe never's a bold statement, but I can't remember, I've never seen Prince Devitt work.
I don't know if I have either.
But, I mean, all of our friends, everyone raves about him, he's great, and I'm sure he is. I mean, I've seen the pictures, he's a very unique guy, he comes out in, like, different costumes, like, all the time, right? That's the guy, right?
Maybe.
I think, like, he came out as, like, Venom once, or, like, Spider-Man once, or the Joker
you're talking about
once.
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio. God, Mysterio.
Didn't he do Captain America one year?
Rey Mysterio did, yeah. But
fucker needs to come out as Batman next time he wrestles.
He probably
that would
has.
Be, that would be
We're
awesome.
Probably forgetting it. He probably did it already. But apparently Devitt, I mean, I'm a bad wrestling journalist or whatever for
listen,
not watching him.
Listen, this is the way I look at it. There's so many guys right now that are in TNA, that are in WWE, that are on the independents that we know, and some of them that we hear about, that we've seen a few of their matches, there's a whole lot of other guys out there
right.
that probably have all the talent in the world that, you know, there's just not enough time in a day to know all these guys. You
yeah,
know?
But Devitt apparently is the guy that they've been after for a while, and he's been tearing up England and tearing up everything. So, like, I feel like we should have... I mean, I'm sure he's great, and I'll watch his stuff before he debuts in WWE.
All right, but think about all the other guys that we followed that are making names for themselves, that are, you know, getting signed, like Sami Callihan,
right.
The American Wolves, you know, the Briscoes who got looked at, Kevin Steen, Luke Hawks, Papa Don.
Yeah.
That's just like seven or eight names off the top of my
right
head.
Right there, yeah.
You know, and now the Carinos are getting looked at. Who else is up there? I'm sure maybe Mario's got another shot in him. Like, he's been around.
I hope.
You know, there's a lot of guys that we know of that are either at that level right. or about to get to that level.
Just in our own backyard, yeah. let alone across the pond.
And it's hard just to follow these guys and yeah. their matches. And then, you know, you hear about guys like from CZW, like your Drew Gulaks. You hear about guys that are working up at Beyond. You know, Mike Bennett's up there still working for Ring of right. Honor. You got guys like Jocka, our buddy Johnny Mongue.
The Juicy Product, JT Dunn. And,
exactly.
And, yeah.
There's people all over the place. It's hard to keep an eye on everyone. My old buddy Mike Dell. Not that Mike Dell, the other Mike
Dell. The one man Mike Dell?
One man Mike Dell.
I like him.
He's still killing it down in Texas. He's going to be on Austin's show, Broken Skull Ranch, either this week or next week.
Is he?
Yeah, he's one of the competitors.
I like him. He's got that old school, like, badass, like, don't fuck with me guy kind of look.
I didn't realize it. Dude is 41 years old. Yeah. I forgot he was, like, near my age, you know? And... No. He still kicks ass, dude. He looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
At 41 years old.
It is crazy. What the hell was I just going to say?
I don't know. Prince Devitt, some of the guys that we follow.
Yeah, well, it's just like I try to keep up. Like, there was a long time when I wasn't watching anything but, you know, WWE and TNA.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I missed out on the golden age of Ring of Honor, missed out on everything. So now I try to go out of my way. Like, usually on Mondays I'll go up to Matt's house. And we'll just pop in a DVD or we'll watch Impact and we'll just get to and I'll refamiliarize myself with some of these guys that I don't really know a whole lot about.
And it's a good idea because a lot of the old Ring of Honor from like the golden era, like 2004, 2005, you got Bryan Danielson, Nigel McGuinness, Homicide was there. You know, a lot of the guys that have made names for themselves now. Jay Lethal was there for a while too, you know.
Jay Lethal, yeah.
Well, I mean, Jay Lethal's back. I understand that, but Colt Cabana spent a ton of time there.
It's cool seeing all these guys perform in that time. And Ring of Honor now, like I've caught up with it a lot more now, and it's awesome. I mean, Eddie hates it, but
Eddie's not a fan of the flippy punchy kicky kick.
Flippy punchy kicky false finish, triple power bomb kick out.
Yeah,
but I enjoy Ring of Honor. Me and Matt watched the show. Mike Bennett and Matt Hardy versus who the fuck was it? Was it the Wolves?
Maybe.
Maybe in the Wolves.
The Wolves, the Briscoes.
Oh, it was the Briscoes.
Oh.
It was Matt Hardy and Mike Bennett versus the Briscoes. Ladder match. Awesome match. So those it's cool Briscoes, catching up man. With Ring of Honor. And hopefully when Evolve comes back to town in, I think it's September or August, hopefully me and Matt will check up to watch some Evolve and Dragon Gate up in Queens, I think. But
Take us to Queens.
Actually, Drew McIntyre just signed with Evolve.
Yeah, he's... Former. Good for him. I don't know what they were thinking with him in WWE. He always just came across as, like, no personality. But the dude's got talent.
I thought he had it all, to be honest with you. I thought he was going to be the next big guy. Then he had that stupid little thing in the hotel.
This is how big they thought that he was. They put him on that, what was it, the WWE All-Stars game, the real cartoony one that they put out. They had him against Roddy Piper in a Battle of Scotland.
There you go.
How else would you get that unless they didn't have big plans for you? And then I don't know what happened.
He had that fight with Taryn Terrell in the hotel, SummerSlam weekend.
No, you're right about that. And that's the same kind of shit that screwed up Rhino's career, didn't it? Rhino
broke something, and he broke like a flower pot in a hotel lobby or
WrestleMania
broke a
weekend.
Yeah. Oh man.
Well, it could have been worse. It could have been Juventude going on a naked bender.
Oh God.
You remember that story?
No.
Yeah, I think it was over. I think. It was
yes, I do.
Was it Australia?
I forget where it was, but I know he was all strung out or something.
Juice was
allegedly.
Loose. Well, I mean, not alleged. It was fact.
Oh, did he get arrested?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he was arrested. Well, I mean, we don't know what the substance was, so allegedly he was high on something.
Yeah, I'm sure he was, or it could have just been...
Taking them Mexican jumping beans?
Yeah. you know how those Mexicanos love their cervezas, so who knows what it could have been.
I don't know why. I feel so nasally tonight, like my nose is clogged. I'm going to be like...
Nah, you're fine.
Who cares? I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I do know that the wrestling world seemed to be in a bit of a panic this week.
Yeah.
There was a rumor... that made all the big websites that TNA and Spike were going separate ways on account of Spike saying that they weren't going to renew. And then about a half a day later, it came out, well, Spike said they don't talk about negotiations as they're ongoing, so seems like they're still trying to work something out.
I think that they'll be fine.
You think they're going to stick with Spike?
I do.
I don't know, man.
I mean, how much... listen, they do a good rating in... Like, a very good rating in,
that's the thing
in
that
cable TV land. I mean, not wrestling land, but cable TV... cable TV land, they do a really good rating. But someone pointed out to me that it's not necessarily about the rating. It's about the cost of production and that stuff. But I'm thinking to myself, how much could TNA possibly cost them to produce?
Spike? I would imagine not as much as we think, because they're on the same soundstage
every week.
Every week.
I mean,
when they go on their tours, I think I read something where when they took it on the road on with Hogan, it was costing them close to $700,000 an episode.
Right. It was bad.
To put that shit out. That's a lot of fucking money for a company that's been hemorrhaging from all accounts that I've read.
Right. Yeah. So, like, all right. They're in the same place every week, more or less. The cameras are, whatever, you got to have cameras to film a show. It's not like they do any ridiculous vignettes. They have no ridiculous amounts of pyrotechnics. They have no, like, the vignettes are all backstage in what looks like a handheld camera thing. So how much could that honestly equate to?
I don't know, but you need a whole setup and everything's got to be live. You got to have a director knowing which cameras to go to. You know, if they're doing live stuff behind the scenes, they have to know who they're cutting to at what time.
They haven't been live in weeks.
No, but when they were on the road,
I'm not talking about the road anymore. I'm talking about just now.
Oh, no, yeah. They would just tape, like, you know, 3, 4, 5 shows at a time, whatever it is, which I can't imagine sitting through on that little soundstage in MGM.
They better have beer. They would have to have beer if I'm sitting through 5
probably
hours.
Probably a lot of that butter beer from Harry Potter land.
Yeah, butter beer. But
I think TNA's problem is that Spike has a history of not really giving a shit about wrestling. Think about it. TNA is the third promotion that's been involved with Spike.
Yeah, but they've also been on there the longest.
I know, but they fucking couldn't wait to get rid of ECW.
Well, that's because when WWE is breathing down your neck, you're obviously not breathing down your neck, but you have a chance to have WWE on your network. Goodbye, ECW. I'm sorry. I would kick ECW off every single channel on the planet if I could have Vince McMahon's product on my TV,
yeah,
on my channel.
I guess you're right there. But who knows? I mean, maybe they're tired of Dixie. I mean, how much money could they possibly be making off of this thing?
I don't know. See, I don't know how that hall works. Like, when Vince and WWE left Spike, they were a hot commodity, and USA was paying them to be on the... And I'm assuming the Spike has to be paying TNA.
They have to be paying for something and covering
TNA's costs. TNA is not paying to be on Spike. Spike's got to be paying TNA.
What? I'm going to sound really dumb for asking this, because I don't even really pay attention to what they advertise on WWE, but what kind of sponsorship does TNA get? Like, what commercials do you remember seeing?
Didn't they have, like, the Fat Burner for a while, like the energy drink or Stack or Two, I think? They actually had the big, like, logo in the middle of the ring. For that.
That had to have been a long time ago, though, right? I think Stacker 2's been off the market a while. Or 5-Hour Energy, shit like that?
It could have been. Maybe 5-Hour Energy.
See, I don't even know. Like, maybe it's just me not paying attention, but I wonder what kind of revenue they're making from I mean, look, one point, like, even if they get just 1 million viewers a week, that's still 1 million people that are going to be checking out, the commercials.
No cable company would ever sneeze at that. No TV network would ever sneeze at people.
It's just
a million
weird,
people
though, man,
watching.
Because
especially a network that's, it's not a TNT, it's not a USA, it's not a TBS, it's Spike TV, for Christ's sake. They're not sneezing at 1 million people watching their show.
Which used to be the Nashville network.
Yeah. Which then became the national network. And then Spike TV. So, I mean, unless Spike is going in a completely different direction with their entire network, which has been rumored in the past that they were going to change their format and not be like this all like man network. They're going to try to switch it up. But I haven't heard anything about that lately. So I think at the end of the day, I think their negotiations, they're just like any other walk of life. They're going to have your highs and your lows of any negotiation. I think, and I have nothing to back this up with, I think they're going to stay on Spike. People have tossed out the idea of them going back to Fox and being on Fox Sports 1, Channel 98 if you have Fios, or 857 if you have Fios. I mean, Comcast.
You do this. check your local listings.
Yeah, check your local listings. Because actually, people in Texas who may be listening to this don't have the same channel I do in West Orange, New Jersey.
It's possible. If it's Fios, I would imagine that they're not changing it for local markets. It's only one market, isn't it?
But I am of the personal belief that they will stay on Spike. The Fox Sports thing is a viable solution. Me and Eddie went back and forth on this forever. Eddie thinks they're done.
Maybe you're right that they will get a deal with Spike. Do you think if they go internet only, they'll probably just tank at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it. It's still wrestling. You still need TV.
Going back to like their $10 a week pay-per-views.
Ooh.
Yeah.
See, that'd be tough.
Because then you'd be asking those million people to shell out 20, 40 bucks a month.
When you can,
and they already cut their pay-per-view schedule.
They did. And I mean, how can you justify charging $10 a week when your competitor is doing $10 a month and you get 10 times more content?
Let me ask you this. Would you pay $5 a month
for TNA?
For a TNA network?
Yes.
I think I would too. Where you'd get their live show, once a week, or live on tape, however you want to do it, get Impact. And then maybe they run, the best of AJ Styles or the best of Christian Cage,
But that would probably end up costing them more than paying Spike TV to be on
network. it wouldn't be like an on-demand service, but like every night from like 8 to midnight. They have programming streaming. Something like that.
Do they have enough content?
I would imagine they do. You know what? Let's get to this point. I read online somebody was actually trying to value their tape library. And allegedly, I don't know for sure, but they estimated that there's about 1,400 hours of programming that they have in the vault.
Okay.
1,400 hours is a lot. And they were saying that if WWE was going to price it out, I think they pay something on average of like $500 per hour of footage. I think that was what it like worked out to.
For other libraries?
Yeah. I think that's what they were estimating, making that basis on, what they paid for other stuff.
If TNA is in fact officially off TV and they can't reach a deal, me and Eddie disagreed on this too. He's like, what would Vince McMahon possibly want with the TNA library?
I'm like
completeness and footage of Kurt Angle, footage of Sting, footage of Jeff Hardy,
AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, guys that he never got.
I mean, you want to make a compilation TV. I'm sure they're already doing one if they haven't already with Sting. I mean, you have TNA's Sting footage. He's been there for years. You have footage of Hall of Famers. You had, like, even going back to the beginning days, Raven, Shane Douglas.
Yes.
All these guys.
All the tag teams, all the knockouts. Yeah. You got Jerry Lynn stuff, Amazing Red.
Yeah. First of all, it would cost
Sanjay Dutt, for Christ's sake.
I agree. It would cost them nothing. From what we, like, all accounts on, like, the Nitro DVDs and the WCW DVDs, like, Jericho said once I found out what Vince McMahon paid for the WCW library, or WCW in general, I was kind of upset because I could have afforded it and I would have bought it.
Yeah, we had the conversation like that. Like, maybe we could have all pooled our money together.
Yeah, but I mean, don't get me wrong. Jericho probably has a crap load of money easily. Yeah. He's probably one of the top 10 most grossing wrestlers in this modern era, probably.
But you could have bought that stuff and then held out for more money from Vince, even if you didn't want to do anything with it.
No, I agree. But it's not like Jericho may have a ton of money, but he's not. If Jericho could have afforded it, it was probably pretty cheap.
I would love to buy the TNA. Do you think the promotion would get $1 million? Like, if they went to Vince and go, buy us for $1 million?
Didn't WCW only get like $1 million?
I thought it was 3.5.
All right, well, still, that's not...
Well, but the deal is with WCW was there was no television.
And that's where we might be headed?
It was literally their physical property. It was all the intellectual property and the tape library.
Yeah.
There was no time slot associated, which, yeah, you're right. That's where we're heading. And even if there were, why would Vince want to keep the program on Spike anyway? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a lot of people are throwing out these stupid ideas like, oh, put TNA on the WWE network and all this crap. And
listen, if Vince bought it and wanted to keep it as a separate promotion, why not? But we haven't even gotten that far yet.
Yeah, but we know. I mean, we're all pretty, I guess, intelligent wrestling fans here. We all know how Vince McMahon's mind operates, and if it's not his brand on it, he kills it.
Understood, but I could see Impact with the little WWE logo in the corner.
Of course. I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
ECW had it.
You know, like, just change the set. Don't, like, try to keep it looking like Impact. Don't make it look like Raw or SmackDown.
Hey, man, they have...
And get rid of fucking SmackDown. You would have your official three entities of World Wrestling Entertainment. You would have Raw, you would have NXT, and you would have Impact.
I mean,
right?
I agree.
I would continue to run them as separate companies, too.
Yeah, but we all thought that was going to happen. Again, we keep going back to WCW. Like,
because
we wanted WCW to stick around.
But we have precedent. We also, you know, when the UWF was taken over by WCW, and they pissed all that away.
Right.
Or was it still NWA at that point?
Not sure.
I don't know. Whatever it was. But the fucking, yeah, it's too much
but
ego,
you
man.
You would think, you would hope that Vince McMahon may have learned a lesson by just completely burying WCW, and maybe he wouldn't do it again.
Well, you would hope.
You would also
hope that Vince would look at the future and maybe possibly making money, because they're fucking hemorrhaging money left and right still.
A lot of stuff happening with them, too.
Yeah, didn't we talk a couple days ago that they were looking to cut office people?
I can pull that story up.
Okay, well, while you're pulling that story up, let me just give you real quick what Matt Morgan happened to say about TNA and this whole Spike TV fiasco. He thinks that their promotion by Spike was, quote, atrociously bad. He said basically you'd only see commercials.
Oh, I agree with this 100% if I know where you're going.
You would only see commercials for Spike, for TNA Impact, about an hour before the show started. There was more PR for the show Mansers than there was for Impact.
Yeah.
They were promoting Bellator like crazy, even though TNA was doing better numbers on the network. And he finished up by saying, the further away TNA gets from Spike, the better off they're going to be as a company.
If they have something else lined up.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It probably wouldn't hurt to have a fresh face. But the other thing is, if TNA is not working with Spike anymore, if that's all over,
say yeah, say it's done for the sake of argument.
How do you walk into another like network and go, hey, look, we bring in 1.3 million people a week. Like, but what's the hook?
Charge
1.3 million?
Charge them less money.
Yeah, but that's the problem. TNA's not making any money as it is.
But TNA would go to another network and say, hey, well, Spike was paying us this. We're not asking that from you. We'll ask whatever, thousands of dollars less. Give us a home. I think, see, I don't think the Fox Sports thing is too far off. Because they're a new network, Fox Sports 1. I'm sure they're itching for content too. So I would not be shocked. I forget who said that, either JP or Justin Anderson. I forget which one said Fox Sports. But if they're off with Spike, I think they go to Fox Sports. Fox Sports makes them an offer. Obviously not as much as Spike was paying them. But if Spike, I have to imagine Spike was paying them.
And there's hundreds of networks that they can go to now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of variety. It's just a matter of who wants to take a chance on professional wrestling. That's what it is.
I agree. But I mean, how do you just completely look away from the rating they did? The rating was good. TNA, I would not be shocked if TNA was not the highest rated show on Spike. I feel like it had to have been.
It might be. I mean, what else is really on Spike? I don't watch anything else.
It's all Cops. It's Cops all afternoon, then Impact, then Cops.
Yeah, it's like SpongeBob to Nickelodeon.
That's really what it is.
You fucking, any other hour you turn it on, you're seeing Cops.
It's really what it is. It's Cops and maybe MMA every now and then.
Ma-ma-ma.
But which is also mind-boggling, because they also seem like they had a really good relationship when they had this whole, we're all about MMA, we're all about fighting. Like, Impact and they were, like, interchangeable.
It's fucked up that Lashley's supposed to be fighting for Bellator coming up, too.
Yeah, him and King Mo, I think, are both fighting.
How do you have such an intertwined business with Bellator and Spike and TNA, and then you're just going to cut TNA loose? I mean, Bellator, I don't think, is doing shit.
I've never seen a fight. I don't watch MMA, so I really don't know what they do.
But I hate to say it, but if I'm watching MMA, unless there's something on like Showtime that I catch, if I'm watching anything, I'm watching UFC.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's almost like the WWE argument. If I'm watching anything, I'm watching WWE.
Yeah, I agree. The only time I ever got into MMA ironically, believe it or not, was when Brock Lesnar made the jump. And then I started watching all his
fights. A lot of people did. His pay-per-views were through the fucking roof.
And it got me hooked. I watched all the fights. And then once Brock Lesnar left, I fell out of favor with MMA. It sounds like such a corny, like, mark thing to say. Like, I went because Brock Lesnar went, and then I stopped because he had to retire.
No, and that's what people do. And it's the same shit with people that follow Hulk Hogan. WCW is becoming a bigger name because Hulk Hogan went there.
Right.
I mean, eventually he got stale, yes, because that kind of crowd didn't, you know, wasn't into the Hulkamania, say your prayers, take your vitamins, you know, big cartoonish characters right. The way they were in the Northeast, you know. But, you know, it's still, you need that.
I know. I completely agree. And even, I think that whole era, as you could see, as it morphed, I mean, granted, a few years later into the Attitude era and the NWO era, even the WWE crowd in 93, the end of 93, when Hogan had his last little run with Yokozuna, people didn't want to see Hogan anymore.
No, but yeah, but the funny thing is, like, he goes over to WCW and those fans are like, oh, Hogan's back.
Yeah, it was fresh for them, for the Southern United States.
And to be honest with you, when Hulk Hogan first started appearing in TNA, it was kind of cool because Hogan's back.
I watched.
But just like Mick Foley coming back and putting people over, it gets old, you know, the more it goes on.
And Hogan really didn't put anybody over.
No.
In his run at TNA.
No.
Except for the Nasty Boys.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, he didn't do anything, to my knowledge, if someone remembers it, make a comment on the Facebook. I can't imagine him, maybe other than a little line in a promo, he didn't put anything over.
No.
Other than himself.
Well, he put Kidman over, if you ask him, in WCW.
Oh, yeah. He made Kidman a star.
Speaking of Kidman chimed in on this, too. He said that he hopes that TNA sticks around because he always wants more places to work for the boys.
Right. And that's admirable.
But he also said, just because he wants there to be more places to work doesn't mean he considers TNA competition for WWE.
And they're not.
Well, I mean, he had to take a shot because he's a WWE employee.
Yeah, he couldn't just leave his comments being, like, praising TNA.
No, which is why I love Twitter, man. You just fucking never know what kind of shit's going to come out of people's mouths.
Yeah, and anyone that thinks TNA has been or is or ever will be competition for McMahon is delusional.
True.
It's not.
True.
I mean,
do you think Global Force is going to be competition?
No.
You see, this is what annoys me about this. They've been talking about Global Force for months. Shit, I get off the pot. Let's get this fucking thing going.
Well, I remember when they first started, they were planning on a 2015 like startup. But then later on, they said hopefully by September, October, they'll start things up. But Global Force, I mean, they're doing the right things by partnering up with just about everybody.
Yeah, but I don't know, man.
I agree. I don't think there'll be. See, now this is interesting. Now, if Global Force gets TV, which all indications is that they probably will, where are they going? Now that we have two networks potentially right now without, or two networks, two companies right now that are both going to be fighting for a TV spot.
Do you think this whole Spike thing is leading to Spike taking on their fourth wrestling promotion?
And, I mean, I thought about it.
You know, I hadn't thought about it until just now.
It's
completely possible that Jeff Jarrett on the sly is like, listen, cut them loose. We've got the better deal. Look at all these people we've lined up. Maybe that's why he's a smart man.
I wouldn't put it past him. He's got Toby Keith.
If he's like, look, I heard Toby Keith's not really financing.
No, he is, I think.
I don't know, man. I thought I heard something a month or so ago that he wasn't really involved.
I think I read the reports like that too, but it was like contrary to what many people think. Toby Keith is directly involved with the company.
Well, so is Hermie Sadler too, right? The driver?
Yeah.
The NASCAR driver?
So. He's been around. He's been festering around wrestling for a while, Sadler.
Yeah. All they need is Mongo to come back and they'll complete the trifecta.
I love Mongo.
Mongo, Sadler, and Toby Keith.
And Kevin Green.
And Kevin Green. Tag me, Mongo.
Oh, man. But see, that's another question that in the next few months, I guarantee you, we'll be talking about a lot more. Global Force, TNA.
I have a feeling that if TNA does fall by the wayside, a lot of these guys are going to be going to Global Force. It's going to be the same promotion.
See, this is...
It's going to be the same promotion, bringing in the same other promotions with talent, with the same people in the same spots.
This is, and that's, I'm glad that we actually stumbled upon this topic because we didn't have it planned at all to even bring up Global Force.
This is why I like when it's just one-on-one like this, man.
I don't think we've talked about Global Force on the show.
No, we've talked, it's been a while.
It's been a while. That's what I'm saying. So it's going to be interesting over the next few months or to the turn of the new year, what's going to happen. And if, now this is, like I said, if Global Force gets on TV, which all indications were once they started, they wouldn't have ventured this without TV.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't have even gotten this far if they didn't think they had someone in their back pocket for TV.
The only thing that disappoints me is, like, it's been a lot of vignettes of Jeff Jarrett just walking around cities.
Has it? I haven't seen a vignette
from him in
a while. The last
one I saw was, like, him walking around New York City. Like, just wandering the streets.
Hey, man.
It's almost like they could have put the streets of Philadelphia behind it. Like, or what was the other song? The one that they used to
Dancing
put on...
in the Streets?
No. The one they used to put on Married with Children. You belong to
oh,
the
God.
City. You know that one with
I know
the
that
saxophone?
Song. Yeah, I love
was that
song.
Was that Don... No, that wasn't Don Henley. Was that Glenn Frey? Who the fuck was that?
I don't know, but I remember it, though.
Yeah, they played that on Married with Children when Al and Steve were going looking for Steve's Barbie doll.
Steve. The Steve era of Married with Children.
Oh, I love it so much better than the Jefferson era. Steve
was
a fucking piece of shit.
Jefferson. Was Marcy really a lesbian?
Oh, yeah. Marcy Darcy? She's a rug muncher.
Did she ever mention that on the show? Did she ever come out as a lesbian on the show?
No, not on the show. I think she came out while the show was still on air, like still being produced. You know, she was...
Glenn Frey.
It was Glenn Frey. Yay me.
But anyway.
I have a feeling we should close with that tonight.
Hey, maybe we will.
I might have to put that in. Damn it, now I want to fucking listen to that song.
It's a good song. But, I mean, I guess, what do you want to jump... We can jump into... I mean, it's kind of related... but just on the WWE spectrum, how people are – the WWE is going to come out with their second quarter earnings on Thursday.
Ooh, that's a big phone call.
So they will announce their current amount of subscribers to the network.
What do you think?
I don't know. But according to the article I'm reading right now on a PW Insider, 11 talents were let go when they made the first quarter earning announcements. I think that's what it was, the first quarter. And now there's a lot of talk that some of those cuts will take place on Thursday. More cuts will be made on Thursday.
I can't see the number going down because everybody that subscribed in February still has their accounts until what, September?
I thought it was July.
No,
February?
It was just before...
Well, the first pay-per-view was...
It wasn't Royal Rumble. It was the one after that?
Was it Hell in a Cell? It may have been WrestleMania.
Was it Hell in a Cell? Maybe you're right. I swear
I mean, Elimination Chamber.
Yes. Yeah, that was when my subscription started. It was the end of February.
It? Yeah.
March, April, May, June, July. Ooh, yes. Subscriptions are coming up for renewal the end of this month. Or the end of August. It's still July.
Yeah.
So they timed that. They timed that just right. So they'll still have the numbers from last time, and maybe they pulled off a bunch of new people when they had the 2 weeks free a couple weeks ago or the 1 week free.
Who knows?
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. And I mean, they're talking about not just talent cuts, just like office cuts and different departments. So who knows? And then there was a rumor that I never got substantiated or never confirmed anywhere that Ricky Steamboat was let go.
Ricky Steamboat was let go.
I don't think he was.
No, he was, and he was brought back.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was like two. It was like 2 or 3 days later they actually brought him back. That's how I read the story, and that's how I think the story went. Okay. Yeah, it wasn't like the rumors were false. He was actually. It was like an Emma situation. They let him go. He was out for a couple days, and supposedly he brought him back because I think the way the story went was that he was supposed to appear places. And then he had to pull out, and he said, if you still want me to appear, you have to check with WWE now.
Oh.
I don't know. Because you see, isn't
does that
he,
affect us?
I no, because he because isn't he on like some sort of
Legends
like,
deal?
Is it Legends or is he like a backstage employee like a Jerry Lawler?
I think he's just on a Legends deal because I remember. Because
isn't he training though? At wasn't he training at Full Sail?
NXT maybe. But I remember when the WWE Network did that Ultimate Warrior documentary after he died. Ricky Steamboat sent in a video message saying that Warrior. They brought him back in on the same kind of deal that I have.
Gotcha.
He said okay. That those were like his words, so I think it was a Legends deal at the time. Appearances, whatever.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so that's, it's a weird time for WWE now, too, when they announce on Thursday their numbers. And
we shall see.
Yeah.
Hopefully news is better. I don't think they're at a million subscriptions, but hopefully it's better.
Did they... They're not worldwide yet either, are they?
They haven't started worldwide.
What are they waiting for?
Maybe they just wanted to give us the test run to see how it's working out.
I mean, I still love it.
I think a lot of... Well, that's the thing. It's such a great thing, but they're taking a fucking beating on it.
I still don't get that. We talk about it every week. How do you not have the network? Well, how are you a wrestling fan and you don't have the network?
Well, if you're a purist and you want the original music... If you have an extensive tape library,
right.
Maybe some people just don't have the time to sit around and watch it.
It's just the tape library and all that stuff. This is like right. This is one click away.
You know what I watch? I watch the pay-per-views. I watch Legends House. I love putting on the Legends of Wrestling. I listen to it at work. You
right.
know, all the old, I think I'm through them all already.
They didn't, there's more of them that they didn't put on there yet.
Oh yeah. There were a couple of new ones that were released actually. I forget what the topics were, but
there's an NWO one.
Yeah,
Kevin Nash.
Yeah, there was one that Joey Styles hosted. I think it was Southern Wrestling, which
okay.
I think it's not new, but it's new to the network.
Are they doing any more? I'm surprised they haven't done more of those. Lately.
All the main events. Yeah, I think they stopped them in 2012.
Those are great shows. I love those roundtable type deals.
Awesome. It's kind of like what we do, but these are guys that like live
that
it,
know what
you know?
They're talking about. These guys are intelligent people.
Yeah, man, like, I don't get it. I don't get it. And plus you get... Look, I know it sounds like we're shilling for the network, but I love being able to watch the pay-per-view on Sunday night, having my laptop, carrying it around with me.
I go out, like, if I'm out, if I have, like, a show or a comedy or something, I have my phone, get the Wi-Fi password from the venue, I'm watching the pay-per-view while I'm waiting to do my set. It's
exactly.
Unbelievable. I don't have to be sitting at my house... Like, I'm bored out of my mind just watching this shit. I'm out. I'm having a good time socializing with people, watching the pay-per-view. And I spent literally last week I was sick. I didn't go out at all. I missed the show last week because I just wasn't myself at all. I sat home and for literally a day, 2 days straight, went from Clash of the Champions to the upcoming pay-per-view following it. Back to Clash of the Champions, and the next pay-per-view following, literally just watched WCW from 93 to 95, like, everything.
Damn.
Like, and it was just awesome. It was cool to see. Like, you got, that was, you had, like, Pretty Wonderful kind of starting. You had teams like Bagwell and Scorpio, who were awesome. You had, you know, Barry Windham just finishing up his run. The of course, the infamous Shockmaster, and then all that stuff. But it was cool because it was stuff that I haven't seen in a while and faces that you don't remember being there at the time, but then you're watching it like, yes, I remember Jungle Jim Steele in 94.
I wonder how much it costs them to do the streaming 24 hours.
Oh, it's probably a lot.
See, maybe they can eliminate that part of it. And just stream what
just
they
need. Just be an on-demand network?
Yeah, just be on-demand because let's be honest. If you're not streaming it, or even if you're half an hour late streaming it, you could just click a button and start it from the beginning.
I very rarely watch their live streaming content.
Only the pay-per-view. Only the pay-per-view.
Yeah, me too.
I don't give a shit because if it's on, like, who cares? I can click it and watch it later.
Yeah, it automatically goes into their on-demand database. Like, I never watch. I literally, like, I don't watch any of, like, the Best of Raw or the pre-show or the. I don't watch that.
They canceled the post-show from what I read.
Right. I think they did too.
So. Like, maybe if that saves them money, why not just do that? Just make it a strict on-demand service, and then the only thing they do live is the pay-per-view. You put up a link. It just says pay-per-view here. Click it at 7:30.
And their original content, like Main Event or NXT, even though NXT's not even live, but they play it.
Yeah, they could just easily put up the box at like 10 o'clock on or whatever it is, like 8 o'clock.
But does anybody even really watch Main Event?
I mean, I don't know about Main Event. I know a lot of people watch NXT. People love NXT.
I like NXT too. I do.
But, yeah, man. So I guess that's the news. Do you have any other news bites over there?
Devitt, Kenta, Sting, Ventura. No, I think I'm good.
All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll get into the week's events, including some Raw talk and some Impact talk.
Sure.
And then we'll see where it goes from there.
Absolutely.
Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back.
Your new symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back, it's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, only on the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizards.com, RantEMRadio.com, GeekLifeRadio.com, iTunes, Audio Boo, and Stitcher.
What's up? It's Mike from The Midnight Jury. The Midnight Jury is a podcast where you, the listener, are able to be transported back to the 80s and 90s every Friday to talk about everything pro wrestling, pop culture, and horror. From segments such as My Five Fun Facts in Under 2 Minutes and Adam's Finally Rediscovered, to past guests such as Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and the horror icon, Chucky himself, Ed Gale, you will find yourself going back to the days before iPhones and social media, to when it was all about records, Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and join myself and my co-host Adam every Friday on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Audio Boo for the Shining Wizards Network, and Fridays at 5, 4 Central to start your weekend on Geek Life Radio. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Finish this episode of The Shining Wizards, get off that $12 whore you just tore apart, and check out Neckbreaker, the only podcast on professional wrestling and heavy metal music. Wrestling headlines, metal news, and guest interviews while your hosts get completely shit-faced. New episodes premiere every 2 weeks on Neckbreaker.net, or follow their lousy updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast. Just like Ziggler at the Garden, this ad is over.
Hey everybody, Stickman here. If you're looking for pro wrestling news and interviews that you can use, then be sure to check out the Apex Radio Show, covering the Ontario wrestling scene and way beyond. We are the pro wrestling podcast of Canada's capital, so listen in as we talk with the finest in the pro wrestling business and keep you up to date on what's going on in the local wrestling scene. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Apex Radio. Apex Radio, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. Available for download on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boo, Podcasts.com, and of course at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Shalom, it's the unprofessional Jewosaurus, Jay Silver, right here to tell you about 2.5 Wrestlers Podcast. It's myself, Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and our newest member, former WWE superstar Kurt Hawkins, now going as Brian Myers, because the man needed something else to do on Monday nights now that he was free. 2.5 Wrestlers Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, right here at Shining Wizards Network. Howdy!
Shining Wizards Network, and a happy new year, horse's ass.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and I want to tell you about our friends to the north at Smash Wrestling, smash-wrestling.com. These guys are fucking awesome, and they had Smashapalooza a few weeks ago. I know we talked about that. So make sure you support our friends to the north. Go visit them at smash-wrestling.com. Do we have their page pulled up?
I do.
Okay. You want to give us some what's in front of you? Some what's in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they have a Smash TV. I believe it's fresh content and interviews every Wednesday night. Check out their upcoming events in the month of August, Super Showdown. I believe that's like their WrestleMania. But, you know, it's their own, so we're not going to call it their WrestleMania. We're going to call it their Road to Super Show, which is August 9th. That is at 4 p.m., 111 Sherwood Drive, Brantford, Ontario. And then Super Showdown 2. A lot of great matches already announced. Super Smash Brothers versus the Young Bucks has been announced for that show. I believe there is plenty more. Let me just pull it up right now. A lot of stuff. Chris Hero versus Matt Cross for the Smash Wrestling Championship.
Oh, that's going to be sick.
Dude, they're awesome. Johnny Gargano is going to be back there against Tyson Dukes. Jay Lethal against Brett Banks. This is this August 17th show. There's another show on August 9th, Road to Super Show 2. But check them out. The guys are awesome. They do great stuff, and we're proud to call them our friends here.
Smash-wrestling.com.
Absolutely.
Tell them the Wizard sent you. You'll get absolutely nothing but great wrestling from north of the border.
Yep. You'll get nothing from us, though.
That was a terrible...
It was fun.
That was a kind of good line, I guess.
No, I liked it.
The more I think about it.
I liked it.
Smash-wrestling.com. Blah, 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 blah. Also, we want to tell you about our friends over at the We Love Pro Wrestling Facebook page. These guys are running their second annual SummerSlam Predictions Prize Giveaway. Head on over to Facebook. Either do a search for We Love Pro Wrestling or join them. It's facebook.com/group/WeLovePro Wrestling 2.0.
And these guys are legit too, man. They got like 45,000 people up on their Facebook group, and including some of the who's who of pro wrestling. So these guys are legit. Support them. Prize giveaways for the annual We Love Pro Wrestling SummerSlam predictions.
Yeah, you know what? I had the list of what the prizes were, and I can't seem to find it right now. But I know one of the prizes is there's some stuff from Wildcat. I think there's a Best of Wildcat DVD they're giving away.
Nice.
I think that the Briscoe Brothers have some sort of DVD, like The Idiot's Guide to Wrestling. It's called something like that. It's a play on that. And you're also going to be getting a Shining Wizards t-shirt as part of the deal. So nice. Make sure you head on over to them on the Facebook. They are called We Love Pro Wrestling. And the giveaway is the SummerSlam Predictions Prize Giveaway. I know that only 3 matches have been announced, but get your predictions in. The winner gets some awesome prizes. That's from our buddies at We Love Pro Wrestling.
Chup.
Couple other people that I want to plug real quick. The Inconclusive Breakdown with our buddy Justin Anderson and the Timmers.
The Double Tims.
Guys out of Indianapolis, and boy, do they play that up to the hilt. They're always doing top 10 lists. I wonder where they got that from. One of their own sons, Mr. David Letterman. I'm sure you've heard of him. They do top 10 lists. They do a lot of geeky stuff, comic book talk, superhero talk, wrestling talk, of course. And they do a lot of fantasy booking, if you want to call it that.
Sure.
Good stuff. Look them up. They're on iTunes. I believe they're on Stitcher. Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast.
Yeah, let me just get one in. These guys are cool. Cool guys. They have a Facebook group. It's called Squared Circle Entertainment. You've heard me mention them before. These guys do a great job of taking excerpts from various news sites, and they keep people who don't want to scroll around and go to all the dirt sheets. They'll put it right in their Facebook group, all the latest news stories. They're very funny guys. They're great guys. Square Circle Entertainment, and they just provide a lot of stuff, a lot of great conversation about wrestling, and they let me plug the Shining Wizards in there. So Rob and all the guys at Squared Circle Entertainment on Facebook.
And real quick, just going around on the Shining Wizards Network Hub, the Neckbreaker Podcast.
Awesome shirts, by the way.
Awesome shirts, which I already pre-ordered mine.
Did you?
Get over to neckbreaker.net. They've got great shirts there.
Those are the little Hasbro LOD guys, like the little ones.
You know what, though? Those shirts need more Chris Kassaris. Your shirts need more Chris Kassaris, and I hope he appreciates that we're plugging them. Also, Turnbuckle Throwback's got 2 new shirts up.
Do they?
Yes, one of them which has the Shining Wizards logo plastered on it. I forget what it's called, but the other one is a take on the old pro wrestling NES game.
Oh, that I saw.
Yeah, they debuted that a few weeks ago. I think it finally made its way up. That's on prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks.
Very upset, Phil and Dave. You didn't let me know this.
Phil and Dave also talked about the USWA-WWF feud on their last episode last week.
Is that when they brought in guys like Mabel and
They brought in, it was the whole Tatanka won the title thing, and the Macho Man came in, and Mr. McMahon got his official start. You know,
that's awesome.
It was good stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of that good stuff is overlooked and forgotten about when you talk about wrestling history. But I'm glad that our pals Phil and Dave brought that up, because it's fun when you go back and you look at that stuff. The USWA.
They've been bringing a lot of like the sound bites to the table too, like the interviews with the guys, like when Lawler was setting up the match with Tatanka and
nice.
The Macho Man cutting a promo on Lawler and stuff. Yeah, really good stuff. Really good stuff. Let me see. Oh, and the Midnight Jury last week did a show on the Breakfast Club. So I don't know what they're going to be doing this week. I don't know if they've released it yet, but that's what's going on around.
All 7 million of them, of the Midnight Jury? Didn't they like show up in droves for Eddie's show?
They sure did.
Good, man.
Yeah.
Like, I heard everywhere you turned, there was someone wearing a Midnight Jury shirt.
Everybody had Midnight Jury shirts.
That's good, man.
Except for our buddy Dan Moff. He had a Shining Wizards Network shirt on.
Goddamn right he did.
Fucking Dan Moff. I love that dude.
Ah, oh, I'm so mad I missed that still.
It's all right, man. I'm sure when they get together 10 years from now, we'll all be...
No, they're playing at my bar. I'm making that happen.
Definitely, dude.
I'm making that happen. So,
well, you better do it soon, because Dave Chen's leaving.
Oh, that's right. He's moving to England? No.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Oh.
Jolly good.
He'll fit in over there.
Yeah, maybe he'll be flatmates with Baza.
Look him up, Dave Chen. Look up Baza Smith and Ben Roberts.
The fucking nut job.
Right, Ben Roberts is the other guy that lives over there, right?
Yeah.
Ben Roberts. Yeah, Progress. Good guy. All right.
Definitely. Don't forget about us, ShiningWizards.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. We are on the Marks for Life We are on the Marks for Life Network. We are on Geek Life Radio. We are on CWE Radio. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher. We are also available on Audio Boo as part of the Shining Wizards Network. So please continue to support us. Buy the shirts. Lick my balls.
This throwback shirt is actually pretty badass. The one, I guess, it's a play on The World of Sport?
Oh, that's right. The World of Sport. That's right.
I thought it was. It looked like American Gladiators at first.
Dun, 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 dun.
But cool shirt, man.
Definitely cool shirts. When I get my next 20 after I'm done buying the Neckbreaker shirt, I might have to buy some more Turnbuckle.
Once we got a lot of stuff coming up. So.
Well, we've got our own stuff coming up.
Yeah.
We're still working on that red and yellow, folks. Don't you worry.
It's coming, and it's gonna be better than what. Than what we had initially released, I think.
Yeah, and
we don't want to give away too much.
No,
but
we still have to have a meeting on that, because we've got plans for that shirt. Let's just put it that way.
I'm very excited about it, and a big shout out to Dan, by the way, our pal Dan.
Dan Klimek. He is fucking amazing. I literally send the guy an email. I'm like, yo, what do you think of this? And he comes back to me. Not only does he have my idea, he's got four different versions of the idea,
and they're all incredible.
It's like we fight over what we want to do.
I would not be upset if any one of the three or four designs that he came up with, if any one of them was the shirt, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
That's
but
how
we don't want to give away too much.
Well, that's it. That's all we're doing.
Definitely props to Dan. I wish the son of a bitch had a website, though, because I've been telling him for years I want to plug his stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, more than what we talk about. I want to get the dude's links up on our page, but In due time. If you want to do some work for you, you can hit him up on the Facebook, Dan Klimek.
Yeah, awesome.
He's
guy.
Friends of ours, friends of the show. Drummer.
Very good drummer.
For KO Durf.
Yep.
But we've talked enough about the personal stuff. Let's get into Impact. Now, in fairness, once again, I caught bits and pieces of Impact, so Kevin is going to help me out and fill in the gaps.
Yeah, I watched it again, and I forgot how much I missed watching stuff other than WWE. I mean, even if I'm not in love with the show, it's just something different, and I've had a streak of watching Impact now, I think, 3 weeks in a row now, I've watched Impact, so that'll make Bill Scooter and Adam Henning and Noren Ganger happy, and I liked it.
That's what we do on this show. We make those three guys happy.
Yeah, when we watch Impact, they love it. I guess the main stories coming out of it is Austin Aries deciding he will cash in Plan C and challenge Bobby Lashley this Thursday night on.
Wait, Plan C?
That's what they call.
Ugh.
Where like, he's the X Division champ, and now he could cash it in again. For
here
the
comes
world title
all the
shot.
Haterade copying off of WWE.
Oh, but they've done this for years now. This is like their money in the bank for the X Division now.
No, but they called it Plan C. Isn't that what Brock Lesnar's called?
Yeah, but I think that's been a while. I think that's been around for a while. I think that term has been.
Good thing you changed that, because I was ready to jump into Stained again.
Oh God, been a while. I mean, that, like, it's hard to do a recap of a show that aired almost a week ago. So unless I'm actually taking notes while I watch it, not probably going to forget some stuff. The Hardys reunited, Matt Hardy back on Impact, which was cool to see. They billed it as their first time together in over 3 years.
That's probably true.
Yeah, other than their Omega stuff and everything. But
okay, so they lied to us.
Yeah, they lied. they led us astray. So the Hardys are back. They will be challenging the Wolves for the TNA World Tag Team Championships this Thursday. Dixie got a little revenge on Team 3D. They had that six-man tag, Rhino, EC3, and Rockstar Spud against Tommy Dreamer and the reunited Team 3D. A whole lot of shenanigans went down. You saw the debuts of Snitsky and Ezekiel Jackson.
Big Zeke.
And the return of King Mo. So there seems to be, at least for the time being, a little bit of a power stable with Dixie and those guys.
Okay. We could go in three different directions here.
Okay.
I know we talked about this before we started recording. I'm tired of the fucking hardcore, man. I'm sorry.
About the whole attempt rejuvenation of whatever left of ECW
there
is.
Yeah, man. I don't know, man. I'm tired of it. I love me Tommy Dreamer. I love me the Dudleys. You know?
It's so bizarre how they use Tommy Dreamer after basically since ECW has never been a focal point in anything in pro wrestling, but yet he's closing shows on Impact.
It's not even that. It's just, I don't know, man. Like, I look at it and it's like, I've seen it for the past 20 years.
I agree. I still...
And I love those guys, man. Those guys are... They're good at what they do. I mean, Bully Ray has been just... He's become a fucking... Like a star, you know? Yep. A superstar. One of the biggest names probably in the past 5 or 10 years, I would say.
I would agree with that. I think that whole... Now we're backtracking a whole way. I thought the Aces and Eights stuff, I thought obviously that made him... That solidified him
that
as...
That shit went
as,
a little too long for my taste, but...
Right, but...
For a while, it was good stuff.
It was good stuff,
until it became like NWO 5.0, where everybody had to be in it, like Taz.
Yeah, and D'Lo Brown. And, but then they completely did a 180 with his character, and with Bully Ray, so now he's like your all-American babyface kind of guy.
Yeah, but he's a tough dude,
he's
too,
a tough dude,
you know?
Yeah. They're not getting too far away from it, but it's enough with... I agree with you. It's enough with the... I mean, they did it. They were in New York. Tommy Dreamer's a big draw in New York.
Yeah, no, understood.
ECW still has a cult following. No matter where you go, that'll never die, as far as I'm concerned.
And Bully Ray, I remember seeing him early days of ECW, just being a fat pudge.
Oh, yeah.
Happy to be there.
And now him and D-Von are both jacked to the gills.
Jesus Christ.
Jacked to the gills, those
jacked.
Two guys. They really are.
Okay, so what was the other thing? No. There was a couple other points. I'm sorry. Before we move on, yeah, man, I'm getting kind of tired of the authority thing, and it's not just TNA. It's WWE as well.
Yeah.
You know, like how much longer? And like so, King Mo was he with MVP or no?
No.
So where's MVP?
I forgot about them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what happened? Like, all of a sudden, it's ECW, like, you know, the old ECW guys against Dixie now.
It almost seems like there's two different authorities in TNA. You have Dixie's stable, and you have MVP stable. MVP now is more associated with Bobby Roode, Eric Young, and Austin Aries now. They're feuding with them. So they're basically like two different storylines mirroring each other with authority figures, and then you have to throw Kurt Angle in there now too.
I was just gonna say yes.
And I'm not sure. I'm sure someone will definitely correct
Everybody's
me.
Everybody's an authority figure.
I don't even remember if Kurt Angle was on Impact this past week. He probably was, but I don't remember what he did.
Well, how nice of my computer. It's telling me that Firefox 31.0 is ready to download.
Yeah.
I hate this shit. I don't want to download it. Don't fucking tell me to download it.
Stop bothering Shining Wizards Tony, Firefox.
Jeez Louise.
So yeah, you had that. I'm not, like I said, I don't remember what Kurt Angle's role was on Impact, if he was even on the show, so forgive me. But yeah, you have that. You mean you have Austin Aries, Bobby Roode, Eric Young, all sort of in the hunt for the belt held by Lashley, who I think has been great in his role. MVP, I think, is still hurt, so he hasn't... Even though I think he fought at least did a run-in or something on Impact. But
maybe a hobble-in.
He did something. But like I said, it's hard to do a review when the show aired last Thursday and it's already Tuesday and so much happens over the weekend.
It's kind of like Dixie and her crew needed, you know, they needed to get something before the final, you know, show from New York City.
And this is the final show for this run, right? On Thursday?
Yeah.
Destination X. And I haven't, listen, I'm not even going to, I can't even spoil it for you guys because I don't remember what the hell happens on Thursday. So.
Well, it's pretty big. I mean, for Dixie's crew to get one over on everybody, you know that hopefully they're not sending people from New York home disappointed.
I don't think they will. And it was cool. I know a lot of people moan and groan when you see WWE jobbers show up at Impact, but this actually served a purpose when you had Snitsky.
Okay, that was the third thing.
Snitsky and Zeke. And Zeke came in as hired guns for Dixie Carter, which was okay because it was kind of like, and I think I read this somewhere, I'm not sure if I'm making it up or not, it was like a shot at the original ECW because now you had these two WWE ECW guys coming in, taking them out. And that's, I think that was their plan, was having two fake ECW guys come in and take out real ECW guys.
Okay, let me ask you. Zeke and the Baby Killer coming in. Are they overwhelming, underwhelming, or you're just like, eh?
I mean, Snitsky's huge.
Yeah, they're huge, but I mean, so were a lot of the other guys they brought in.
You
know, didn't they bring in Big LG? Didn't they bring in Mike Knox?
Knox is still there.
Oh, Knox is still, oh, he's part of the Menagerie?
The Menage a Trois.
The twatlickers.
But it was what it was. I think it's fine if they're just henchmen and they're just hired muscle guys. You could bring in anyone in that role and it wouldn't matter who they are. Because I don't think they're going to be around for a long time. In fact, I think they might be done already after this round of tapings.
If the Spike deal doesn't go through, then everybody's done.
Then everyone's done.
Whoops.
And it all comes back.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Jesus!
I don't need to say that anymore.
That's true.
I know Jay Silva's going to love that one.
Jesus!
Who is that? Oh, John
Danzig. Yeah. Or Zandig. Not Danzig. We can't say that. We might get in trouble. I think that Zandig sues our... Ah, I even fucked it up. Never mind. Let's move on.
Other part, a notable thing, Impact, Great Muta was there.
Yes. Sonata turned on,
yes,
right?
Which, yeah, me and Matt were talking about this for a while. What the hell was James Storm doing with Sonata for weeks, talking to him about you don't want to let down Great Muta? And I thought that would lead to a James Storm Sonata feud or a James Storm Muta match, but now it looks like Sonata is a bad guy and he'll be either taking on Muta or something. I don't know.
I think Sonata's just confused.
He just re-signed with them, though, too, so...
Yeah, but his English probably isn't so good.
His English. And speaking of Japanese people, Tajiri will be making an appearance at the tapings coming up in August, which I want to go to. We should figure out a way to get there. Next week.
Are they next week?
It's up fast. It's August 5th to the 7th.
That's right. It is next week.
That came out of nowhere. August.
Holy shit,
it's creeping up on us, guys.
Fuck.
And by guys, I just mean Tony.
Yes. Well, he meant all of you guys listening.
That's right.
I don't even know if we have any female listeners anymore.
I forgot we did this for people.
Yes. This is not all about us. It's about you, the listener.
Is Chris Sabin on this show? Chris Sabin. Is the X Division Extravaganza. One night
ooh,
only.
An extravaganza.
Oh, yeah. I'm just scrolling through the TNA website because I am trying to make a point to watch it every week, but I'm still not 100% caught up. And you gotta have some good X Division matches because there's going to be a new X Division champ crowned. Our guest last week, Homicide, will be on the show this week taking on Homicide and... I mean, he is Homicide.
I was going to say, Homicide's taking on Homicide. Holy shit.
Samoa
That's
Joe.
Some Undertaker shit going on there.
It might be. I think it's Samoa Joe and... I want to say Manic.
You know what would be really funny? If they did a match like that, like, just say, for example, Homicide versus Homicide... But they bring out somebody that looks nothing like Homicide. Like low-life Louis Ramos comes out and fights him.
God.
Just as a goof, you know?
Like Damian Sandow?
All right, we'll get there. We'll get to Damian.
No, but yeah, low-life Louis. I'd like to see low-life Louis and Homicide.
Oh, I would love to see them wrestle, of course. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, you know, like it would just be funny as a goof where, like, somebody comes out as like an Undertaker versus Undertaker match, but looks nothing
like
him.
Doesn't look anything like him. Looks like Ezekiel Jackson. I think that's it for Impact.
Well, we gave TNA a lot of coverage tonight, yeah, well, so they nobody were can fucking complain.
They were in the news, yeah.
Nobody can complain. We could have fucking blew that story off and said, hey, but, you know what? They're still talking about
it. But I'm enjoying it. I mean, I don't hate watching Impact now. It's fun. It's something different. I get to watch wrestling now. Like, it was never a must-see show for me. Raw was always the must-see show, but if I caught Impact, I'd watch it. Now I'm going out of my way to get somewhere where there's a TV or stay home and watch Impact. So I hope that they stay on TV. I really do.
Oh, no, we made that clear. Yeah. We don't want to see them go, but we want to see them, you know, do something better. Keep moving forward.
Right.
It's not how hard you hit. It's how hard you get hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Is that supposed to be Rocky?
you got it?
That was the worst.
Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad.
If I could change, then, if you, I know, could ch- then you could
change. Now you got me fucking it up.
We could all change.
That's how winning is done.
Hey, come here. I'll tell you a story. That's my underrated line. No
she
one
died of a woman disease.
Oh, man. Freaking Rocky.
Oh, shit. Speaking of shit, no, I shouldn't say that. I actually enjoyed parts of Raw this week. Oh, come on. Raw wasn't terrible.
The beginning and ending were the only decent
parts. And that's
parts.
All you need?
Yeah.
All you need is a half an hour of a 3-hour show.
But it was weird. The best parts were promos.
Yeah.
To me.
All right, well, let's start with the beginning. I want to jump to the end because I think it's like the greatest thing to talk about, but
that's
we'll
the
get
most
there.
Important thing, believe it or not, which is shocking for me to say that.
Let's wait till we get there. Believe me, I'm in the same boat you are, and I hate the fucking if you think Kevin and I are going to agree and you're all upset about it, go fuck yourself. People hate when we all agree on shit.
God
they
forbid.
Really do.
God forbid
I know.
Four people. Statistically, it's impossible that four people would agree on one thing.
Well, unless we're talking about like killing kids.
Oh yeah, we can all get on board with killing kids.
I'd be like, fuck them. If they're trying to kill you, you fucking kill them, right? Well, yeah, Matt. We never thought about that.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you for that, Matt.
Where is he?
There.
Oh,
again.
I'm Matt.
One more time.
Alrighty.
You have AIDS.
That's why he's not here. So anyway, so Raw starts off with John Cena. Wah, wah. I'm going to win. You know, I'm in for the fight of my life. He actually was serious Cena for a change instead of silly Cena. Well, I'll say that a bunch of times fast.
That's impossible.
And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, I know that sounds nothing like Paul Heyman.
He saved the segment. I mean, I don't honestly remember
I don't know
what
if
that.
Saved
see,
it.
I don't. Was Cena good? I watched it. I don't even remember if his promo was good.
Cena was good.
Okay.
He was like, I'm in for the fight of my life, yada, yada, yada. And Heyman was like, what did he say? He doesn't want to beat John Cena. He wants to make him a victim. He wants to victimize him.
Yeah. He's
might as well have just said, I want to rape him.
Well, Brock Lesnar probably could rape him.
I apologize to all the women out there. Yeah. I think Jim Norton said it. He's like, with Brock, if he wants to have sex with you, he's like, you can't even fight it. You just have to take your pants down.
Jim Norton?
Yes. Oh, he's a big Brock Lesnar fan.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've had him on the show a few times.
I didn't know that he was a wrestling guy, or is he not?
Dude, you really want to laugh? Search out on YouTube, Jim Norton takes a heel hook from Brock Lesnar.
All right.
You want to hear Jimmy squeal like a pig? It's fucking hilarious.
All right, there you go.
Anyway, we digress. So Heyman shits all over Cena, and Cena gives it back to him, and fucking Cesaro
that
comes out.
That ruined the whole fucking thing for me.
I was like, what the fuck? And then he gives Paul Heyman a hug, and Paul Heyman was just looking at him like, what the fuck?
It's, again, we're gonna go on our tirade about the Cesaro handling and everything like that.
No fucking sense.
It's bad, and you have Paul Heyman essentially leaving Cesaro, and then Cesaro coming out, kissing his ass.
You could have had anybody come out there.
Anyone.
Anybody.
Granted, Cesaro gets a good match out of Cena 9 times out of 10, but...
Oh, all right, go ahead. Keep going. I'm sorry.
But anyone, you're right. Anyone could... It made no sense for Cesaro to be in that position.
The thing, I think what they were going for, which is just kind of dumb, was that they were trying to say that Cena can wrestle. And that's all they kept pushing down our throats. Look at this. Cena. And Cena, when his mic went out,
that's right.
Paul Heyman was even kind of filibustering, waiting for him to get the mic. And he's like, I'll wrestle circles around you. But when Cesaro said, where did you get your shoes, Kmart? I was like, fuck you, Cena.
That was funny.
That was great.
I mean, Cesaro, he got a chance to show some more personality in that promo Cesaro did.
And it took a top rope attitude adjustment for him to lose, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Cesaro looked strong. The thing was that they were just trying to show like that Cena could do, like, you know,
he could actually. And they actually showed him. They actually tosses, had him do moves and headlock takedowns.
Yes, exactly.
And everything. So it was a little unusual for a Cena match, but
it is what it is.
But it's just Cesaro. I mean, I can't.
I don't know what to say.
I can't talk about it anymore. I'm done talking about how they fucked Cesaro over, and brings me back to my point that I make every week that Paul Heyman benefits nobody if your name's not Brock Lesnar.
Well, you were talking about fucking, and that brings us to AJ and Paige.
All right.
Two ladies I wouldn't mind throwing the old salami to.
Oh, yeah, Paige. She had that special kind of pasty white hot.
She's like, oh, my God. Like I could picture putting my dick in a jar of mayonnaise, and like it would be like putting it in Paige.
Sounds about right.
I'd have to put some roast beef on the top.
I was about to say, you have to like ketchup around the top, maybe.
Ketchup, Jesus.
I don't know, it's the only condiment I could think of.
I
that
know
was
you like hockey, but I didn't think you were a Red Wing fan.
Ah! Oh, man. No.
I got the zingers tonight.
That's not bad.
No, not bad at all.
I gotta drink more.
Shit, I wish I was up on the soundboard because that deserves...
In your face.
Yes.
There it is. It's the classic, in your face.
In your face.
I forget who. I stole that from some comedian. I don't remember who.
So it was AJ, I don't know, AJ and Paige. I hate you, you're crazy, I'm crazy. And then the awkward moment was when AJ went to throw Paige into the steps and Paige just kind of leapfrogged the steps and they just stared at each other.
And that was it?
And like, well, Paige was backing off and they were like, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to get you.
So wait, now Paige is crazy.
They're both crazy.
They're both crazy.
They're both out of their fucking minds.
Now, where
Alicia Fox is supposed to be crazy,
is
too.
That, like I said, when in doubt, they just make bitches crazy on...
I don't know. There was a bitch tag team match later on, but I didn't really pay attention to it.
No, they didn't do another four-on-one. Oh, no, it was like Natalya and someone against Cameron and...
Yeah, I think even... Oh, yeah, in my
it
notes...
It was the Funkadactyls.
I didn't even write it. I just put bitches match.
Bitches be crazy matches.
That's how much I worried about that one. Yeah. Although, you got to admit, it's nice that they're actually giving the Divas more shit to do. Like, overall, there were three segments on Raw that the women were involved in.
I agree.
And it was all about the women. They weren't, like, extras and, like... Actually, Fandango wrestled, didn't he?
Fandango wrestled Diego from the Matadors.
Okay, so you had three actual Divas, like, involvement segments.
If you consider Fandango a diva.
No, well, then that's four. But no, but what I'm saying is, like, the Divas were even involved in that. So three segments on their own, plus the involvement in the Fandango angle.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
I didn't pick up on that till you
They're
mentioned
actually
it.
Using the bitches.
Yeah. Normally you would just get your one standard diva segment, and now you're getting...
Yeah.
And that's both companies, by the way.
Well, I mean, TNA's always been a little better with their knockouts division.
But now on the last few pay-per-views, you saw two divas matches, on at least one on the pre-show and one on the thing, whether it be the Funkadactyls fighting and then the title match.
Let me ask you, which name do you prefer, knockouts or divas?
Well, for wrestling purposes, I think knockouts is better.
I think the knockouts just has like a killer like a killer feel to it. You know,
it's
like,
a double entendre.
Yeah, like divas like doesn't make them feel like wrestlers. They just seem like bitches.
And
which is why I said the bitches match.
Well, because they wanted to move away from. That's why they changed the women's championship to the divas championship.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's a marketing thing. You market them as divas. You don't market them as superstars. Or
yeah,
women.
I guess.
It's all marketing.
I don't know. I just kind of dig the knockouts.
Because you know how many shirts they sold with divas with that little fucking butterfly on the top of it?
Yeah.
You're not going to get that with fucking bitch wrestlers.
And they sold a lot of replica diva belts.
I'm not going to lie. I hate it. It's a fucking butterfly. That's
it's
not...
grown on me.
Yeah, me too.
They should be wearing it backwards with no fucking like top on.
Pants on? Oh, okay.
You know, or pants.
They should just wear it naked.
Yeah. It'll be like the tramp stamp.
I like it.
Imagine that. Just fucking dropping loads on the fucking Divas title.
Whoever wins the championship has to get a tramp stamp, and that's all they can wear.
That's all they can get.
Oh, my God.
Or they light the belt up Terry Funk style, and they brand them with the back of it.
Dude, that'd be hot.
That'd be fucking crazy. Imagine the screams off of that. Like, ah!
All right, yeah, now we're getting like somewhere else.
Bitch. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, all right, so let's bring it back. Okay, so yeah, so they talked about Stephanie, went into Jericho interrupting.
Rehashing their whole
trash bag hoe.
And which kind of didn't make sense to me. I don't understand why Jericho came out there. I guess he just wanted his match with Bray tonight. It led to that.
Yeah, I guess they kind of have to intertwine things somehow. Yeah. And what better way to bring back Kristen to make fun of Stephanie again?
All right. I didn't hate it, didn't love it.
Yeah, it was just kind of there. It gave something for Chris to do.
Yeah.
Dolph Ziggler with the Usos taking on Ryback's and Miz.
There it is, my man, the Miz.
Dolph gets the pin on Ryback with the ass drop or whatever they call
no,
it.
No, the zigzag, they got him.
The zigzag, whatever. Yeah. You know what I meant.
And now I guess they're leading up to a match with him and the Miz at SummerSlam, I hope.
Hopefully Dolph gets a win, although I'm liking the Johnny Cage Miz.
The Miz, listen, I've said it for years.
And I'm on board with that, man. Always loved the Miz.
Is the man, and they could have a match that could potentially steal the show at SummerSlam. If they're both on their A game and they're both determined, those two will rock and roll. And if they get anything other than the fucking pre-show, they'll steal that show at SummerSlam.
A couple of things to fly by real quick. If you want to make a comment on them, fine. Lana and Rusev, big standoff again with We the People.
And that's another thing. I predicted the flag match. I think that's what we're getting at SummerSlam.
I mean, there's swagger. Just really nothing more there. Sandow comes out as an astronaut, loses to Adam Rose.
I love Adam Rose.
I'm done with Adam Rose.
I love Adam Rose.
Sandow. I love the Sandow.
I hate the Sandow.
Oh, see, we don't agree.
See, the Sandow, I wouldn't hate it if it wasn't. They recycle their own ideas every 4 years or every 3 years.
But Sandow's getting a reaction, and he's on Raw every week.
I can never tell if he's a heel or a babyface, though.
Doesn't matter. He's getting a reaction.
It's so bad.
He's owning it, though.
When you look back at what Sandow was initially brought into the company for, and what his role was.
I get it. Look at Santino. Same thing.
No, well, Santino, we can clearly say that Santino only benefited from that. Sandow, I don't think, is benefiting from it.
But Sandow's on TV every week, and Sandow's getting to ply his trade in front of people.
That match was 2 seconds last night.
I understand, but I'm just done with Adam Rose. I'm enough.
I love it. I think that character, I'm not going to bail on that character yet, unlike the next one we're probably going to bring up.
Let me see. There was a whole thing with Stardust looking for the cosmic key.
I still don't know what that is.
I don't know either.
Maybe I'm guessing it might be the belts.
That was the rumor. I would assume so.
Who knows what it is? Maybe it's Dusty Rhodes. Maybe Dusty Rhodes comes out and is
like, my God, Fat Dust.
Fat Dust or Tumbleweed Dust. Scar Dust.
Scar Dust. We got our name for the episode.
Dusty Rhodes as Scar Dust.
All right, wait, let me write that down because we always talk about it. And then when you guys are all leaving every time, I always forget it. All right, there's our name.
How are you feeling? I know we're winding down.
We're good.
How are you feeling about Stardust and Goldust?
I love Stardust. I love that he's playing it off like the fucking Joker. Or is it
the Riddler?
The Riddler, that's it. I always fuck those two up, even though they're two completely different characters.
But they have similar, they laugh craziness and
yes.
Have those crazy laughs.
It's awesome.
If you're going vintage Batman, like the 60s Batman, he's that Riddler to a T, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I haven't watched a whole lot of their promos. I mean, I didn't like the Stardust character at first at all.
A lot of people didn't. He came out to like no reaction.
I hated it. I thought, listen, if you're going to put someone in that, I guess because I wanted better for Cody Rhodes, just as himself.
Yeah.
But it's exploring another part of your character and it's enhancing you as a performer. How is Goldust is essentially playing the straight man to the comedic stylings of Stardust, where Goldust has never been in that role before. He's always been the comedy guy.
Yeah, it's true.
He's always been the more eccentric one. Now Goldust, it seems like, is playing the normal one out of the two. How has he been doing in that role?
All they've been doing is talking.
Right.
Do you remember when he used to do the stuttering gimmick?
Yeah, when he got electrocuted. Yeah. He got thrown into like a soundboard or a circuit board and then started stuttering the next
that
week.
That gimmick actually got him on Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Howard Stern was so enamored that there was a stuttering wrestler.
He thought it was real.
He got him on the show and he would do the whole... And they used to play the sound bites of him going like...
Baba Booey.
Fucking Baba Booey, yes, to y'all. Let me see, what else is there? R-Truth. Beats the streak.
See the memes already showing up of him wearing Eat, Sleep, Conquer, Beat the Streak.
No, I didn't see that yet.
It's pretty funny.
So, I don't. Look, R-Truth like never loses on Raw, like just never.
Really?
It's rare that he ever loses on Raw. Go back.
Seen him on Raw.
I know, like, that's the other thing, and I thought he was part of that Brotherhood faction.
Not
that
yet.
Really starting up.
At least not yet.
So he beats Bo Dallas, and Bo Dallas kind of goes.
It shows another side of his character by beating the shit out of him,
yeah.
R-Truth. I'm not on board with Bo Dallas. Haven't been. Won't be, probably.
Me either. I don't know. I guess he's kind of growing on me. He's just kind of there.
And I've said that before about how I hated characters, and then they grow on me, but Bo Dallas hasn't grown on me yet.
He's just kind of there.
Because I don't think he has. I don't think he has that natural charisma. I mean, he has charisma, and it, I guess some of it to an extent is natural. I don't think it's enough to carry that character. To me, anyway. I don't think he has enough. He doesn't have a combination of things to me that. I mean, he has that goofy smile, the grin, which is great. That's the best thing he's got going for him.
He needs a haircut. That long hair does not work with a fucking positive.
And he always comes out
motivational
wearing,
guy.
And he just comes out wearing it. Like, I've never seen him come out in like a suit or anything like that. Or just something that shows. He comes out in those stupid white pleather trunks all the fucking time with just Believe on the back. He's not in great shape.
No.
Like, he's not. I mean, granted, he's in better shape than I could ever dream to be
in. Well, he's in better shape than his brother Bray.
That could even be debatable, to be honest with you.
No, because Bray's actually round.
I know.
Bo's a little jiggly wiggly.
But, yeah, and it's...
Distracting.
Perfect. Perfect word. It's distracting. I can't take him seriously when he's... And it kind of goes against everything we've always said about wrestlers having to be jacked and but at least look presentable. He's jiggly wiggly. You're right.
I wonder if a singlet would do him some good.
I thought about that. A singlet or just working out?
Yeah.
It's bizarre because...
Do you think he was a fat dude that lost a ton of weight and now he's got the ring around the gut?
I have no idea.
It could be possible.
I don't know how that works.
But he doesn't really have stretch marks.
And his pecs, I mean, his pecs aren't even anything. His pecs aren't, like, jacked. They're not solid. They're jiggly wiggly, too.
Yeah, but they're not as bad as the belly.
As the tire.
To show him slow motion of just fucking, like...
And, yeah, that's another thing. You shouldn't be making your main gimmick running around the ring when you're just flopping all over the breeze.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like I said, I mean... I've been proven wrong before. I've been swayed before with other characters, but I don't see it happening with. And are they going to put him in the Intercontinental title picture with Miz and Ziggler?
That was the rumor. There was rumors that there was going to be like a three-way or a four-way or something like that, but who knows? And where's fucking Freckly Jar?
Heath Slater?
No, the other one, the ginger.
Sheamus?
Yes.
I think he was in Ireland. He was in Ireland doing promoting.
Was he recovering from the flu?
Did he have the flu?
I thought he was sick. I thought somebody had said he was sick.
Is he still the U.S. champion?
You better believe it, fella.
Fella! Sheamus wasn't on the show. RVD wasn't on the show.
RVD's hurt, isn't he?
Is he hurt?
I think his knee? Something like that. He's rehabbing.
Gotcha.
Not that way, the physical therapy way.
Ah.
Ooh, I like that. Let me see. A couple other points. So Diego and Fandango. It sucks that Fandango's losing to a tag team wrestler.
It sucks that it wasn't Zack Ryder again. Figure after Zack Ryder gets a win over him last week, they further it with a rematch.
Nah, thinking ahead? Come on. Come on, bro. Come on.
Zack Ryder deserves to be in at least some sort of feud, even if it's with Fandango.
Let me see. So Jericho wrestles Rollins and the Wyatts eventually attack. That progresses that. I don't know what else to say.
And they announced that match for SummerSlam, Bray Wyatt versus Jericho.
Yeah,
let
me see.
Whatever.
What else am I missing?
Well, we're missing the main.
Roman Reigns and Kane.
Eh, whatever.
Eh, whatever. What is it? Orton attacked. Yeah. Is that match set up?
I think it's set up. No, it's not set up, but it's going to be set up.
It's getting
I think
there.
The only three matches
Unless they put Kane in as a three-way, which would just suck the drizzling dicks.
In what three-way?
Put it as a three-way, because doesn't Kane not get along with Randy Orton now, too?
Oh, I could see that. And maybe Kane does the job.
Eh. Ugh. Why make Kane do the job? Just let Orton eat a fucking pin.
I think they're going to go with a one-on-one match. Maybe with Kane as a ref.
Oh, God.
Maybe.
Back to the old Attitude Era days.
Why not?
I agree, but...
I mean, I haven't read or heard anything that's what they plan, but...
Like the time that Austin was the special ref between The Undertaker and Kane.
Yeah.
And he fucking... He pinned them both.
Was that Austin? That was Over the Edge. Wasn't it when Owen died?
And then, no. Was it?
I think it may have been.
No,
I'm pretty sure it was.
It might have been, yes.
99, Over the Edge. And they
Wait, didn't they fire Austin?
They were both the champ. Kane and Undertaker both
oh,
pinned.
Oh, they both won. No,
they
I'm
both
talking
won.
About, I'm talking about, was it the rematch a month later? Where they wrestled each other to decide who the champ was and Austin had to be the referee?
Maybe. That sounds about
right. And Austin declared himself the champ, and then Vince fired him, and they put that goofy picture of Austin's face on the Titantron.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, God, yeah.
But now I have something to look forward to on the network when I get home.
Awesome. Let me see what else. Blah, 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 blah. Last thing, Stephanie McMahon and Brie Bella.
This was the best part of Raw.
So the setup, Stephanie was still being charged with assault and battery, and she was looking for Brie Bella at certain points of the night to try to make amends to see what they could work out. And yeah, these two had a great standoff in the ring.
And it's so awesome when you don't realize that it's the closing segment of Raw. I look at my phone. I'm like, wow, they're closing with this?
That's exactly what I said.
That's awesome.
I looked at my alarm clock. It was 11. I said, holy shit, they're going to close
with
Bella and Stephanie. So Stephanie grovels. What can I do? What's her name, a raise. I'll give her job, blah, 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 all this and that shit.
Big tits?
Yes. Nikki Knockers. That's how I remember them, Nikki Knockers.
And Brie.
Brie. Mosquito Bites.
There you go.
Brie Bites.
Brie Bites.
Maybe I didn't have the name for the episode yet.
Ooh. Scardust
and the Brie Bites.
Scardust and the Brie Bites invade the Wizards.
Okay, so then Brie eventually comes out and she's like, you know, I want a match at SummerSlam. And Stephanie's like, no, I have a family, blah, blah, blah. And she's crying and shit. Stephanie knows how to turn on those waterworks, man.
It was a great segment.
And then Stephanie was like, at SummerSlam, and she smacks her, and fucking Brie falls off the apron.
And then
Stephanie's like, I'm going to make you my bitch.
Oh,
yeah.
God, so
I was
good.
Like, what the fuck? And then Brie was like, oh, no, you didn't. And it's time for Joey Mercury and Fit Finley. And,
dude, they're getting their money. They're getting their money's worth on TV lately, those
Jamie
guys.
Jamie Noble got to hold back Brie Bella.
Brie Bites and the Noble.
Not a bad thing.
Dude, those agents have been showing their mugs on TV a lot lately.
And it's so nice that it's not fucking Tony Garea.
God, remember that? Our day of and Rene Goulet.
Rene Goulet, Tony Garea, Pat Patterson.
Oh, my God. Chief J. Strongbow.
Chief J. Strongbow. Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
The tradition of men that used to come out.
And it's so weird seeing guys that we grew up watching. I not even grew up, not too long ago. Yeah. Jamie Noble was in WWE. Finley was under contract.
Joey Mercury. With a shaved head, for Christ's sake.
I blame CM Punk for that.
Remember when Joey Mercury got busted
in that ladder match? The four-way ladder match.
Oh, Christ on a cracker.
God, but yeah, I mean, they thought enough of him to keep him around. He should be wrestling. Unless he's that up there or that banged up.
Well, Billy Kidman is still around. He's a trainer.
Yeah. Oh, he's a producer, I think.
A producer? Well, yeah. Somehow.
But he's put on a little weight. He's not the same Billy Kidman of old.
Alex Riley could be wrestling. They have him doing like the round table with Booker.
With Booker. Oh, don't even get
And Christian.
Christian's awesome. Christian should be wrestling.
He might be done.
You might be right about that.
They might bring him back, not even for like a championship run or anything like that, but just to like, you know.
I was pissed, and I'm a huge Alex Riley fan. I was pissed that they put him in that role until I realized how good he is at it.
What do you mean?
He's really good at the, like, if you could put him on any sport, you could put him on Monday Night Football.
He's very
good at the desk thing.
Except for when fucking Booker keeps making fun of him.
No, well, Booker T's the worst part. Booker T should never have a microphone in front of his face unless
this
he's cutting a promo.
This guy, Randy Orton, I got a feeling he's going to win.
Orton.
Randy Norton.
Norton.
Jim Norton.
I do a pretty good Booker T.
That's
right?
Not a bad Booker T.
Can you dig it, nigga?
Oh, I had to say it. Sorry.
It's fine. And he's one of my favorites of all time, Booker T. But I just can't. I hated him on commentary. He was the worst. And I hated him doing this role.
That's one soundbite I don't have. I don't have him with his Hulk Hogan promo.
Oh, you can find it. It's on YouTube.
I know. I got to put it up on the machine.
We have enough racist stuff in the soundbite board, don't we?
Oh, of course we do. Of course we do. So that was Raw.
In a nutshell.
And that
I'm sure
was the
stuff.
News.
Yeah.
Anything else that we need to touch on?
I don't know. We're 2 hours in, man. It's a good show, man. It flew by.
This was fantastic.
It really flew
we
by.
We should do this more often.
You doing it next week?
Or oh, of course we are. I think Eddie's back with us next week from his mancation.
Yeah.
Matt, hey, if you want Matt to come back, pray for rain Tuesday.
Yeah. We need rain so Matt can join us.
Maybe we can get Bo Dallas to do the rain dance. Isn't he Indian?
Rotunda? Yeah, I think he is.
Oh, wait, is Rotunda Indian? I thought he's Italian. Well, Italians usually play Indian, so it wouldn't be that much of a stretch.
Bo Dallas looks pretty goddamn Native American to me.
He does. It's the hair, dude. It's the hair just makes the features look more Indian than Italian.
I think he is.
Pardon? Like, part?
I think he is.
I think Wahoo McDaniels banged his mom.
Oh, there you go.
You know how to say hi to an Indian?
Wahoo! No.
You remember that, the old Heenan joke? You know how to say hi to Tatanka? Hey, how are you? Hey. God, you know what? We could tell racist Heenan jokes all night.
That was so... I forgot about that. That's a great one. Hey, how are you?
Hi, Jesse Ventura used to have a joke about Chico Santana where he said he was picking lettuce heads or some shit like that.
Well, he called his finishing move the flying... Oh, that was Bobby Heenan too, I think. The flying jalapeno.
Yes, and then when he changed it to El Paso de Muerte, he called it like salsa with extra picante or some shit.
Oh, so good.
Hey, Tito's sister could really belt him out. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, that's a Reba McEntire.
Oh my God.
He was the best.
Oh, they were so good. And Jesse, the $1.8 million man, Jesse Ventura, was no slouch either.
You brought it back.
I got to.
There was one line that Mega Powers actually had me checking out. Dave Powers from Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Go listen to that show, by the way. It's awesome. Where he was watching Mr. T after his boxing match on Saturday Night's Main Event with Cowboy Bob.
Oh, Cowboy Bob.
And Cowboy Bob was holding him down and Piper was whipping him with his belt. And Jesse goes, hey, McMahon, looks like Roots 2.
I remember
that. And McMahon goes, what? And he goes, Roots 2. Like, he gave him a chance to repeat the racist joke.
Ventura had the pipe bombs before the pipe bombs were pipe bombs.
Oh, but they just didn't fucking care, man. You know why? Because it didn't mean anything. Like, it was just to be funny. It was just to get somebody over, you know?
Right.
Like, fucking Tito, like, he said it talking to us about the Chico Santana stuff.
What?
He was like, oh, I didn't know that, you know, he's like, I thought people were being mean, but he was like, no, it was Jesse.
Oh, that's right, on the Tito episode.
Jesse was calling him Chico, and he's like, and it got me more over because people were more sympathetic.
There you go. It was also a different time then, too, man.
It was a method to the madness, yeah. And it was no, like, Jesse really didn't fucking think that Tito was like some dirty, wetback Mexican, you know what I'm saying?
Right, absolutely not.
It was just
that's like the worst thing I've ever heard. What you just said. That
Sorry.
Was terrible.
Yeah, no, that was a little mean, huh?
And you just said it so nonchalant. You said it no nonchalantly, like it wasn't a big deal.
Listen,
at all.
If you say it and you own it and you don't hesitate, then people won't think it's a big deal. Like, I love Tito. I love all of our Mexican friends. All of our brown brothers have a place in this world.
Dan Lopez.
But you get what I mean. Like, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, it's not like he was dropping N-bombs and, you know, calling JYD.
Matt wants to open the Skype.
No, I'm not calling Matt.
You sure?
I don't want to call Matt. Dude, we're done. Why ruin a good thing? That's like after having the greatest sex ever, like another
having the worst sex ever.
Like another girl just shows up and goes, "Hey, I'm ready for the party," and you're done, dude. Like you're pulling out knee.
That's incredible. What are you talking about?
I don't know, man. Cause
that's awesome.
You'd be pulling out knee cartilage by the time that happens.
Oh, you just get back on
the
horse.
You know what? Maybe that was a bad thing. Can I hang up on him?
I mean, I'm sure we can. Him. We do every other time he calls in.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a whiz-bang fucking awesome production of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Tony and Kevin, bang it out again, man.
Yes. What's up?
No, what's going on? I'm like Lee Marshall. I'm calling from the road.
Okay, good. We were just about to end a fucking awesome 2 hours of show. You better bring it correct.
Jesus, excuse me. Did you guys cover the indie scene this weekend? A lot happening.
Shining Wizards not with the indie report. Thank you.
There you go, Shining Wizards now with the Indie Report. Coming to you live from Summit, where I walk the mean streets looking like Aunt Jemima with my headband on.
Are you drunk?
No, I've been lying drunk. That's funny.
All right, well, tell us what happened with our good friends up at Beyond Wrestling.
Beyond Wrestling put on another sellout show at America on Round of 14. Some highlights that you would be interested in knowing. Michael Elgin, he defeated Chris Dickinson.
Ooh.
Young Bucks have defeated the Juicy Product in what is considered one of the matches of the year. Over in California, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, we have new PWG Tag Team Champions as Joey Ryan and Candice defeated the Young Bucks. Roger Strong won a number one contenders match over Adam Cole. And Kevin Steen had his last Pro Wrestling Guerrilla match before he heads off to the WWE, losing to Trevor Lee.
I saw that.
Shining Wizards Matt from the road with your indie report.
Awesome.
That's it. That's all I got. I gave a little tidbit. Now I'm out.
All right, brother. That was Shining Wizards Matt with the indie report. Hopefully it'll rain next week and he'll be in studio with us next week.
I have to admit, That could have been very painful. That wasn't bad.
He went right through it. That was good. He just went down. I wanted to touch on Pro Wrestling Guerrilla because I paid attention to that too. But we, like I said, we weren't short for anything to talk about this week.
No, I think we had a fantastic 2 hours.
I think we did too.
So once again, I'm Tony.
I'm Kevin.
And go fuck yourself.
There it is.
Good night. 'Cause you belong to the city.
Fuck it.